The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
But now, a case in the United States that raises serious questions about the use of artificial intelligence in policing. A Tennessee grandmother was arrested in front of her grandchildren at gunpoint. She was jailed for almost 6 months and accused of crimes in a state that she had never even visited, all after being misidentified by facial recognition software. As a result of her incarceration, she lost her car, she lost her home, she lost her dog. It's a story that highlights the real-world consequences of errors in these systems and the broader concerns around accuracy, oversight and civil liberties. Joining me now to talk about it is Dr. Elizabeth Farris, tenured assistant professor in the School of Information and Communication Studies at UCD, where she serves as director of the UCD Center for Digital Policy. Elizabeth, good morning and welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, let's talk about that Tennessee case. I mean, it's truly shocking because evidence of this woman's innocence was readily available.
Yes, it was a very shocking case, but it's illustrative of other cases that have also happened. We have this grandmother. She was taken away at gunpoint while she was childminding. She was put on a plane, which she had never been on before, flown over 2,000 kilometers to a detention center, and all because of a case of mistaken identity due to artificial intelligence. The officials who arrested her had relied on this AI facial recognition system, which mistakenly connected her with the actual suspect. And I should note also that the officials only conceded their mistake after these 6 months behind bars on Christmas Eve. And when they released her, they offered her no flight home and no place to stay.
So there she was, literally homeless and penniless outside the prison where they released her. But only the good offices of her defense team, supplied her with enough resources to get home. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, it's another kind of failure of the whole United States system, you know, where things like this can happen without any redress.
Yeah, well, it's happening closer to home as well, because police in Ireland are also exploring the use of policing facial recognition technology. We might just talk about what that is. It's where police use AI to identify people. They capture images from video, from CCTV, body cams, drones, public cameras, in order to extract facial features into this biometric template. And they match that template against a database of images. At least that's the theory, but we're seeing a lot of problems with this technology, including misidentification, mass surveillance, and accountability.
Now, the question of the database against which they match it, I mean, it's one thing if you've got a database of felons who, when they're arrested and charged, they take a mugshot of them, and if they're subsequently convicted, then those mugshots remain in the system. If they're innocent, those images are supposed to be destroyed because they are deemed to be not guilty of anything. That would be one thing, but where would the Irish police be getting a database to compare any snatched images with?
Well, we'd have to wait and see. They're trying very hard to legalize it currently. But what you've described here in terms of the databases is a form of mass surveillance. FRT enables this sort of continuous and often invisible monitoring of people in public spaces. And it undermines all sorts of rights that, until this technology became somewhat normalized, we used to hold very dear. Our right to privacy, freedom of expression, freedom of assembly, and this database capacity that you describe can shift policing practice from targeting specific people under criminal suspicion to population-level surveillance, where we can all be watched all the time. And we're seeing that in the UK, where the use is in shopping areas and in sporting events.
Now, the normal use of this kind of technology, for example, we all, when we go through passport control in a number of countries, we offer our passport to the scanner, and then we're invited to step through the barrier and have our photograph taken, and it compares the real you with what's on your passport, and that's the biometric passport. Is that kind of use okay?
Well, again, it doesn't necessarily accomplish what you've said it will do, which is like the ideal, because there's this problem with artificial intelligence in facial recognition technology systems, which is the problem of misidentification and also AI bias. This tech is actually quite error prone in real world conditions. They can get strong results in the lab, but when they try to use it out in the real world, it doesn't quite work the way they want it to. It performs poorly when attempting to identify younger people, older people, women, darker skinned people, and this leads to false matches, to wrongful stops, and in extreme situations, disproportionate harms like the grandmother experienced. And we've had another example earlier this year of a man who was arrested in the UK for a burglary, again in a city who he had never visited, after facial surveillance AI confused him with another person. So there's the problem of it just not working the way we would hope.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you may not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
Now, you would say that because we've seen the advances in AI so rapidly over the last couple of years, I mean, those fake videos we see are getting so much better that you can't see the joins anymore. You can't see the discontinuities, the lack of sync of voices with the imagery and so on. It's becoming more and more seamless. So the question is, are we waiting for the perfect technology, or should we never have any truck with this technology at all?
Well, what you've described is the difficulty of containing the technology, because it can change and advance so quickly. And it makes it very hard for legal systems, which tend to be much slower moving, to hold the technology accountable or to control how it's used. These FRT systems and these watch lists, they're very opaque. We don't really know when or how they're being used. There's very limited oversight. There aren't really great opportunities to challenge the systems as people. And the question we don't really have an answer to right now is, just like the grandma, like, who else has been wrongfully arrested? How many mistakes have been made? What kinds of harms have been experienced? So given that lack of control, given the misidentification and the bias issues, a lot of experts in computer science, in law, in human rights argue that it should simply not be used at all.
Now, this woman, eventually the vindication came about because they were able to prove that she was not in that state at all at the time they said she was, and they had banking evidence to prove it. So eventually she was vindicated. One would have thought that in any situation where someone snatched image from a crowd or whatever was used from CCTV to make an arrest, that eventually, you know, the lawyers would get to work and everything would be challenged along the way, comparing the snatched image with the real person. And therefore, you'd, you know, the full rigor of the law would be applied and the person would be vindicated.
We'd
expect that in our jurisdiction, but maybe not.
Yes, you'd expect it in a matter of hours, too. You'd expect someone to look at this machine match, which is incorrect, look at the actual person and make the clear, obvious decision that it's not the same person. And we've heard cases, unfortunately, where that just doesn't happen. There's another face of Robert Williams, who again was arrested on his way home from work, arrested in front of his wife and children on the front lawn of their home, had his DNA extract, was taken away. When he was finally interviewed 2 days later and the detectives put the images in front of him, he said, "This is obviously not me." He held the picture up next to his face and he said, "Can't you tell?" And the reply that he got from the officers was, "Well, the machine says it was you." So there is this reliance on the machine to be seen as sort of a superior analytical space to make decisions that we used to rely on our own senses. And we're offloading that to the AI to make those decisions for us.
Now, the question of the public services card and that kind of biometric data, is that being stored by the Department of Social Protection?
Yes. Well, the public services card is a very good example of the misuse of facial recognition technology in Ireland, and it should be sort of a warning, a siren for things going forward. So the public services card used facial recognition for identity verification. And a number of experts, as far back as 2018, lawyers, human rights groups warned that this FRT system went far beyond what was necessary and proportionate for ID assurance. It expanded into multiple public services, which did not require this level of scanning. And the government, unfortunately, simply would not take this on board. And it took the Data Protection Commission ultimately investigating and fining the Data Protection Commission for, I think, like $500,000. So we have these warning misuse cases in Ireland that are quite strong. There is some concern because now, meanwhile, Ireland has indicated they want to move ahead for facial recognition technology for policing purposes, much like these cases we see in the UK or America. Despite AI experts saying, let's not do this. There are too many problems with the technology. As far as we're aware, the Irish government is pressing ahead in order to onboard this with the policing services.
Dr. Elizabeth Farris, a tenured assistant professor in the School of Information and Communication Studies at UCD, director of the UCD Centre for Digital Policy. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.